There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
I think the main thing, you know, our philosophy is defend every blade of grass. So, you know, once we get down there, everything gets a little tighter. Run fits get a little tighter. The spacing in the back end for the pass game gets tighter. And then obviously Bobby's done a great job of, you know, really studying that stuff and putting us in the best position. So, you know, when we're out there, we're in position to make plays. And I feel like, you know, in most of the situations that have come up so far down there in the red zone, guys have stepped up and, you know, really just made plays.
That is Bills middle linebacker and defensive captain Terrell Bernard, expected back in the lineup after missing a week with an ankle injury. Welcome back to Batavia Downs here for the Legends and Stars Memorabilia Show. I'm Nate Geary. Before we go to the Western Hotline for our first football guest of the afternoon, a real quick update from my guy Ryan Hasenauer. The stage is filled,
yes.
And it's filled with some recognizable names.
Yes, yeah. So I'm seeing some Dallas Stars jerseys. I'm seeing some sticks as Brett Hull is here. And they're accepting VIP.
I'm on air, so I can't boo him.
Yeah, you don't boo him. Yes. You know, another great thing, though, is that the Legend Stars guys do is that you can actually get a VIP pass. And you see a lot of these people are wearing VIP lanyards. That lets you go to the front of the line before they start calling the number. So I mentioned how we organize this. Oh, Brett Hull 1 through 10. Before they call 1 through 10, the VIPs get to go up. So you can pay a little money, just like you're dropping the line at Disney World. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right. Yeah. You're doing fast pass.
You're getting the fast pass. You're getting the Genie Plus there. And you're getting up to the front there. So lots of different ways if you're looking to, if you're on a time crunch and you want to make sure you get up there as soon as possible. But I see, you know, people got cereal boxes, they got posters, all kinds of great things. Stuff you can get signed, folks. Make sure you check out legendstars.net for information on all of the athletes that are going to be here today. As we mentioned, Bruce Smith, Cornelius Bennett, Eric Wood, Daryl Taylor, House Ballard. Now, some people say to me, why would I want an autograph from a guy who's on the offensive line? Buddy, how do you think Thurman Thomas got all those
yards? That's right.
How do you think we were able to protect Jim Kelly in the pocket? You know, these guys are doing the work. Every single one of those was part of the 90s Bills. And a lot of these people like collecting them all, right? They're trying to get like a whole set of autographs on some sort of piece of Bills memorabilia, whatever it might be. And you got to get everybody who was there, you know? So
that's right.
So getting House Ballard is a must if you want to get stuff from the 90s Bills. Now, who is that walking in there?
I think it was Pierre Turgeon.
That Pierre Turgeon is doing, is right to our left. Again, I'm describing things on the radio. to our left here in our studio here in the Park Place room. Everyone's doing their meet and greet, because yes, you can pay some a couple extra bucks. Check it out on legendstars.net. So you can do some meet and greet with these people. Get a nice photo inside of this little photo booth thing we got going on.
All right. Talk to you in a little while.
Sounds good, Nate. Can't wait to talk about the Breeders' Cup.
That's right. Absolutely. All right. Coming up here on the Wester Hotline now, joining me, I'm live at Batavia Downs. But joining me on the Wester Hotline, Carl Jones of News 4 Buffalo. He covers the Bills and Buffalo sports there. Carl, good afternoon to you, my friend. Long time no chat.
Yeah, man. How you doing, man? I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, man, it's good to talk to you. I'm excited for and by the way, I apologize for pulling you away from the opening kick of Syracuse Virginia Tech. That's my bad, not for not recognizing that.
Oh no, listen. We got a TV, Ohio State, Penn State in front of me, and then we got Syracuse on the laptop. I'm good. I can multitask. We good.
Okay. All right, I should have known better. All right, Carl, big matchup this week, and big only from the, I guess, perspective that Bills-Dolphins games always tend to be fun, competitive, hard-fought games. Obviously, the Bills coming out on the better side of that more often than not. Does this at all feel a little like a trap game to you? And I know that kind of ends up being a term a lot of people use, but you know, I think in look about this matchup is the Bills have had the Dolphins number, and obviously Mike McDaniel in his tenure with Miami has only got one win against Sean McDermott. But it just feels like they're probably the lowest they've been in the McDaniel era right now. Tua, you know, his second game back from the injury that he sustained against the Bills earlier this season. What do you make of this matchup, the trap game sort of narrative, and kind of what are you looking for in this matchup that I do think ends up being an important one for the Bills as this schedule really gets tough over the next couple of weeks?
If there was any other team, any other color, heck, any other league, I would be like, this is a prime trap spot, and the Bills got to make sure they're on their P's and Q's. But just something about this Dolphins team and the way that they're constructed and then their history against the Bills, I just don't see this being a spot where the Bills are going to overlook them tomorrow afternoon. For one, Miami isn't a team that's really great in the trenches, and I think that's a spot where you have to be excellent in order to trip up the Bills team. That kind of, especially on the defensive line, can be gotten at times, right? I don't think the Dolphins are strong there. The passing game has never really been a concern, even with great receivers in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. The Bills have found a great way to stifle that attack with Tua back there at quarterback. And then defensively, they are super banged up. I know they played better over the past month or so, but some of that has to do with their schedule, and they haven't really played great quarterback. But then likely no Javon Holland tomorrow, likely no Zach Seiler tomorrow. I believe Kader Kohu was also banged up. I get it, next man up, but sometimes the next man isn't good enough, and that's the reason why the starters get paid. So as long as the Bills, you know, take care of business and don't turn the ball over like rugby kicks like it was last week, I think they'll be okay tomorrow.
Yeah, Carl, obviously last week in Seattle, kind of a slower start to that game, but the Bills really turned it on starting in that second quarter and into the second half. And that's sort of been the story for them over the last month or so, is kind of these slower starts. I mean, I'm going to point directly to that Titans game 3 weeks ago that, you know, they were kind of asleep at the wheel. I think if they're playing a more difficult opponent, if they're playing Baltimore, they're playing Houston, one of these other AFC powers, you know, maybe they don't have that second half and they get the win out of that. So how much to you is starting quicker, both offensively and defensively? I think the defense has done a better job quickly adjusting. It's not taking them a full half to really move off of their initial game plan. Sometimes it feels like the offense takes a little too long to move off of the game script, and I'm sort of wondering what your thoughts are about quicker starts.
Oh, I think they're very important, especially as the schedule gets tougher. I mean, you can fall behind a Titans team, you can fall behind an Arizona Cardinals team, you can fall behind some of these other squads, because you have the ammunition and the firepower to come back and make it a track meet. However, against some of the better teams on the schedule, most notably the Texans and the Ravens, when you dig yourself in a hole, those teams are good enough to where they can withstand some of your haymakers later on in the fight or later on in the game. So I think it's very important. And I know Joe Brady and the guys on the offensive side of the ball have tried to figure out ways to, you know, have a better opening game script and figure out some of their tendencies that they like to attack on the first drive, and then defensively as well. But I think it's very important, especially after the schedule gets tougher.
Carl Jones here on the Wester Hotline. We're talking Bills, Dolphins. I want to ask you about the Bills' defensive backfield. Now that it feels like it's rounding out, it's healthy. You know, obviously, Taron Johnson missing a couple of games with that wrist and forearm injury. He's back, and man, is he playing pretty incredible football. I mean, you watch Taron Johnson. If there's a guy you watch defensively down in and down out, it's Taron Johnson, just because all the things, Carl, that he's capable of doing, both in the run game and in the pass game, still somehow feels underrated in terms of the rest of the sort of slot and nickel corners across the league. And I think it's also helped them in their dime looks, because him being back in the lineup, you know, moves – you know, Cam Lewis into that dime role, who I think is playing really good football, the best football of his career for the Bills defensively. So their nickel and dime looks, they both are very deep and capable of stopping the run and pass. And then obviously, you know, Christian Benford, who's on the injury report this week, he's questionable for tomorrow's tilt. But between Benford and Douglas on the outside, what has impressed you the most about this group now that they are healthy and really clicking, I think, on all cylinders, both in the run and pass game? Especially, let me also note this, Carl, is talking up, you know, Taron Johnson in the run game. I got to also give kudos to Rasul Douglas, who is so physical, a sure tackler, a willing tackler at the outside boundary corner position. They're a very well-rounded unit.
I'm so glad you touched on that right there, because corners who tackle really set an emphasis and set the tone for the rest of the defense. Because as a former DB, I look at the rest of the defense, and they think, your fellow comrades out there think like, all right, man, we need you to be able to take the guy down, because this isn't what you do. You get paid, you're here to cover. And when those guys can set the tone on the outside, then it allows everyone else out there on the field to feel as if they don't have to go outside of what they're asked to do. They just do their 111. So when Benford and Rasul and obviously Taron come up and run support and lay the wood like that, it's contagious for the rest of the defense. But I think the Bills secondary, what's impressed me so much about them this year, they're multiple. I mean, in the Sean McDermott era, they've been known to be an excellent zone cover team, right, with all the schemes they play and how well they communicate and how they always feel like they're on a string. Well, I feel as if this year, doing large part because of personnel and also Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbitt just getting more tenure and learning more, they can also play man coverage as well. And I think that's what's really, really scary. And what's going to help them in the postseason, because I felt as if in the postseason the past 4 years, they haven't had enough punches on defense outside of some of the traditional zone look. I think if they can throw us some jabs here and there, like, hey, we can play man on third down if need be. We can play man on first down because we have the horses to do so. That's what's going to help them out in January and beyond.
So, Carl, obviously when you think about a matchup like this, you think about the Tyreek Hills, the Jaylen Waddles, but I think – especially last year, what made Miami so successful was how good the running game had really rounded into form. His first season, Mike McDaniel, I think there were a lot of calls and a lot of questions about, I mean, the sort of staple of a Shanahan offense is that zone running game, the ability to stretch teams and hurt teams on the ground. Obviously, McCaffrey in San Francisco and, you know, now Josh Jacobs in Green Bay under Matt LaFleur, that sort of same concept. Last year, Mozart, 1,000 yards, led the league in touchdowns. This year, he starts the season with a chest injury and really has not gotten the run game open, but they draft Jalen Wright. It really hasn't come to fruition this year, and he's had opportunities because of the injuries to both Mostert and Achane, who have missed games this year. Other than strictly speaking, having guys missing game to injuries and losing Tua in a threat of the quick passing game, I think has also allowed them to become, or allowed defenses to cue in and stop that run game. What have you seen from this running game, short of not having an effective passing game, that maybe might concern you and worry that they could get it back on track against this Bills defense on Sunday?
They're good on the edge. I think they're a team, I mean, that's quite frankly because they can't really run up the middle. They're just a really finesse group. That's the one difference between them and maybe some of the other Shanahan disciple offenses. They can't go downhill. They just don't have the body type to do so up front and in the back. I mean, Mostert could do it, but that's just not his MO. I think that with all of the creative stuff they can do to the edge, and we can spend an hour on how cool it is that they can jet sweep, stretch, toss, all the stuff that they can do to get us to the perimeter. That's the one concern, I would say, with how aggressive the Bills' defensive line is, of getting upfield, right? So if you get upfield all the time, they can figure out ways to get outside of you. So that would be the one concern. And I think in previous matchups, that has been something that the Dolphins had success before. They just haven't slept with it for whatever reason.
And on the other side, the Bills run game, Ray Davis has been awesome for this team. I think he's such a nice compliment to James Cook. But I even saw a little bit, you were talking about some of the things that the Dolphins do on the edge really well. The Bills are a little different. They really want to run between the tackles. But last week I saw two times that I think I'm sure there's a couple of times earlier this season where the Bills have tried to attack the edge in the run game, but they largely have been wanting to attack defenses in the middle. And now that they've gone under center, Carl, I think they're seeing a little bit more consistent success on the ground. But some of those sweet tosses, some of the stuff to the edge, I think is an advantage for this team because of the speed that James Cook has. And then getting more towards the middle with a Ray Davis, who is really a North Star, just no wasted movement from Ray Davis whatsoever. How do you see this run game evolving? Because I think that there is room for this run game to continue evolving and looking different and better.
Yeah, the one thing with Joe Brady since he's been in charge, they've kind of just like majored in like three kind of runs, right? Your zone.
Three run concepts, that's right, yep.
Yeah, they just kind of majored in that. And over the past few weeks or so, like you just hit on, they've kind of added and sprinkled a little bit more in there, which I think, one, speaks to how comfortable everyone else is in majoring in those three concepts, which is cool. But it also speaks to, all right, bet we can add some more tools to the toolbox and give more defenses stuff to think about. Because you do have a legit thunder and lightning thing back there. You do have one of the best top three, four, whatever, offensive lines in football. And then because Josh Allen is such a good runner in his own right, he's an extra blocker in the run game for a defensive assignment responsibility. So I think with the way that they're running the rock and how they can do it on their terms, because I felt as if in the past, like in previous iterations of the Bills, they could run the rock because of the numbers in the box. It wasn't necessarily because of how good they were. I think, and we saw that on full display last week in Seattle, it doesn't matter if you put 13 players on the field, the Bills still feel comfortable they can get 6 yards on any given play running the ball, and that is so cool to see, especially how they've kind of transformed the offense through the years.
And listen, as much as we can talk about and rave about this run game and how it's starting to evolve and grow, listen, I think largely, Carl, the success I want to attribute a little bit over the last couple of weeks is this offense moving more towards, or maybe moving back towards, an offense that does run through Josh Allen. They're just not asking Josh Allen to do everything. They are having success traditionally running the football, which they really haven't been able to do over the last couple of years. They've really relied on Josh Allen, and when all else fails, just, you know, call some designed run plays or ask Josh Allen to scramble, and that's kind of how your run game goes off, and that's why you're over the last couple of years they've been a top five run unit. But Josh has not really been asked to or need to extend plays, but he's extending them and using that to still throw the football, not be a runner. And I think the last couple of weeks, the thing that stood out to me is they're moving back towards that pass-first offense where the short passing game, especially to guys like Khalil Shakir, who's got, you know, the number one player right now in yards after catches is Keon Coleman. I think number four is Khalil Shakir. So they're getting the things that they've been talking about over the last couple of years, right? Like an offense that's built after yards after catch. They can run the football, be multiple. But I got to tell you, the thing that stands out to me the last couple of weeks is their pass game looks to really be rounding into form, Carl.
Yeah, and I know people are going to immediately attribute that to Amari Cooper getting there, and I get it. He's definitely had a positive, he's been a positive, net positive for the offense. Having said that, a lot of the big plays, he hasn't even been on the field. So unless you think a defensive coordinator is saying, oh, Amari Cooper's out there on the sideline, let's play something different. Like, the Bills are just executing better. Some of that has to do with the fact that Keon Coleman's getting more comfortable in the offense and just, and as an NFL player in general, Khalil Shakir getting back to form in terms of health. And then Josh Allen also just getting comfortable as well. I think what's so cool about the Bills' offense, and I just spoke about how defensively they've kind of transformed on the back end. Offensively, they've, and you've seen people talk about this isn't me saying something new. They're meeting modern football in terms of what defenses are daring offenses to do, in terms of matriculating the ball down the field. We dare you to dink and dump it. All right, bet. We got Khalil Shakir and Keon Coleman, and we dare you to tackle those guys in space 5, 6, 7 times a game. Because, listen, as a DB, that hurts. I ain't trying to tackle you all game. And I got to come up and try to tackle Ray Davis? No, I'm good on that. So, like, I think that is so cool that they figured out a way to maybe be a step ahead. And I know a lot of people were like, oh, they don't have the traditional field stretcher. And you're right, that may come back to hurt them at times. But in terms of modern 2024 football, yak and being able to make plays with the ball in your hands is where the game is going.
All right, Carl, one more before I let you go, my friend. You know, we're talking about this matchup, offense, defensively. I want to ask you, because listen, they're going to face harder defenses and more difficult defenses as this season goes. They got the Kansas City Chiefs, the Detroit Lions, even losing some of the players that they've lost up front, and obviously San Francisco. Like they've got some defenses on the docket over the next couple of weeks. Tennessee, maybe not as good as the numbers suggested going into that game. They've struggled over the last couple of weeks. I bring this up because I love what you're talking about there too, and the teams that are going to have success running man coverage against the Bills, and we saw this earlier this year, specifically against the Baltimore Ravens, but kind of a perfect storm to me, Carl, in that Baltimore game, right? They get down early, they can't establish the run game, and then for them, they become a little bit predictable. And I largely, though, Carl, that Ravens defense has not had the same success in man coverage covering offenses like they did against the Bills. Is it a bad game? Is that just a game where all things go wrong in Baltimore? And do you suspect the next time the Bills play a good man defense, man coverage defense, that they're better set up and maybe better equipped to have more consistent success than they did in that matchup against Baltimore, and even to a certain extent, Houston?
Yeah, I think the Baltimore game is a little wonky because of the game script. They got behind early, so Baltimore was able to get in some of those creative pressure looks and confuse things up front. But Baltimore is unique in the fact that they may not be a great man unit for a bunch of teams, but they match up fairly well against the Bills because of the body types that the Bills run out there. Like Dawson Kincaid, I think, is a good player. Kyle Hamilton's an all-pro. Marlon Humphrey can play the outside, but the Ravens really like him in the nickel. Well, Khalil Shakir is right there as well. So that's where, when they didn't have an Amari Cooper at the time to go against a Nate Wiggins or a Brandon Stevens, that was the issue. So I think that with an Amari Cooper, you hope that he still can be a very good receiver at this point in his career to separate against man coverage, because the teams who do have guys in the middle of the defense, the spine, your safeties, your nickels, that can go bar for bar with a Dawson Kincaid and a Khalil Shakir, because the Chiefs do, I think, with a Justin Reed and a Trent McDuffie. Who else do you have to say, okay, we trust you against? I think Jalen Watson is hurt for the Chiefs right now, but yeah, some of their other outside corners. So that's going to be the issue or the question. Can you guys take away some of the outside corners? Because the Chiefs, similar to the Ravens, have very, very stout guys on the inside.
All right, Carl. I appreciate you, my friend. Tell the folks where they can find you, find your work, where you up on X, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, man, you can find my work on Jones11 underscore on X, better known as Twitter. I know I can't call it X. It just don't sound right.
Yeah, I didn't like the way that it sounded when I said it either, so.
Yeah, sorry, Elon. Don't ban me. But, follow my work there. I tweet about, obviously, report on the Bills, daily stuff. And then also, go Orange. We're down 7-0 right now, but, it's early. It's early. We got time.
All right, Carl, appreciate you, buddy, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
All right, no problems, man. Carl Jones there on our West Her Hotline, our sports anchor and reporter on the Bills over at News 4 Buffalo. Appreciate him. And reminder that I am live here until 2 p.m. at Batavia Downs for the Legends and Stars memorabilia show. Vendors running 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. today. We still have plenty of guys hitting the stage to sign autographs here. The 12 o'clock hour continues on. Scott Norwood headed on the stage here in about 5 minutes. We've got Chris Chelios, Howard Ballard, Bruce Smith at 2 o'clock, Eric Wood and Cornelius Bennett at 2:30 and 3. And then Daryl Talley also joins Cornelius Bennett. So the linebacker duo, 3 to 3:45. You won't want to miss that this afternoon up here at Batavia Downs. Again, kids 12 and under are free admission, for all others $10, but the paid admission receives $10 in free play on the gaming floor. And for full details, including autograph prices, available on legendsandstars.net. Timeout. Other side, David Fronis of the Sun Sentinel joins me to talk some Dolphins. We'll get the extensive injury report for the Dolphins. Several guys, several defensive starters already listed as out and another as doubtful. So we'll get thoughts on their defensive approach in this matchup against the Bills tomorrow at 1 p.m. Of course, right here on the flagship of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. So more coming up live here at Batavia Downs. I'm Nick Erie. This is WGR.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
The one thing about Josh is he gives you a chance to get the ball, right? Because he is so strong. He reminds me a little bit like Steve McNair, Ben Roethlisberger back there, where when you get there, you have to make sure you not only try to tackle him, but you almost have equally as good a chance of tackling the ball because he just kind of hangs it out there like a loaf of bread. So I think the biggest thing is to throttle down. First thing, let's make sure we secure and try to get the sack and then try to attack the ball in doing so.
That is Dolphins defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. We're at the halfway mark this afternoon. I'm live at Batavia Downs Raceway and Casino for the Legends and Stars Memorabilia Show. And things kicking off here around 10 a.m. this morning. They'll go till 5 p.m. this afternoon. And still plenty of time yet to hit the stage today. Howard Ballard, Bruce Smith, Eric Wood, Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, all still not hitting the stage till almost 2 or 2:30. So plenty of time to get down here to Batavia, about a 30-minute drive from downtown Buffalo. Kids 12 and under are free admission for all. There's $10. For full details, head to legendsandstars.net. But I head back to the Wester Hotline because joining me now from our friends over at the Sun Sentinel, it's Dolphins beat reporter David Ferronis. And David, welcome, my friend. Long time no chat. I haven't seen you since, what, like last year maybe when Marcel was in town. And it's good to chat with you, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's an annual trip and sometimes twice a year a trip to Buffalo. So always fun. I'm on a layover right now in Philly, about to head over pretty soon.
Well, I would tell you that I look forward to the potential of seeing you twice this year, but a tough start to the season, David. Not sure that'll be in the cards for the Dolphins, especially if they don't find a way to win tomorrow. Overall, David, pull aside for a moment, if you would, the, you know, trying to win games without your franchise quarterback, and obviously, you know, we know what that looked like without him in the lineup. But pulling that aside, what has gone wrong for this Dolphins team, short of losing their starting quarterback? Which I think a lot of teams would have troubles overcoming that, but the dramatic nature in which they struggled, I think was a bit eye-opening for, I know, people outside of the organization, but Dolphins fans said, well, what's gone wrong for you, and where are you placing most of the blame on why this season has gone the way that it has, which I think are against a lot of the expectations going into the year?
Boy, where to start? I mean, yes, you do lose Tua Tagovailoa for four games, and he recovered pretty quickly from the concussion, but medical experts that said he should be on IR, just give him more time to recover since he has that injury history with the cases of head trauma. So you miss him for four games. They lose three of those four, and it's just mind-boggling how the offense completely goes awry when there's another quarterback in the lineup. A lot of backup quarterbacks in the NFL would kill to have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle to throw to in Mike McDaniel's offense, and it's just stunning how it doesn't work when it's not Tua in there. Now, maybe the reasons are complexities in the offense. It's tough for someone else to come in who's not as used to it. Now, Skylar Thompson, he was the first backup up, and he's in his third year in the system, and he couldn't run it. Granted, that was in Seattle, hostile environment. So Maybe that played a role in it, but then he gets injured. Tyler Snoop Huntley is in there as a guy they signed 2 weeks earlier, and now all of a sudden he's thrust into starting duties, and there's a lot of pre-snap penalties, motions not going right, just everything out of sorts. So, yeah, and then you had your first game back with Tua. You saw some glimpses of the offense returning, but then the defense, which had been so reliable with Anthony Weaver coming in, you heard from him, maybe offering some bulletin board material in Buffalo with the Josh Allen comment about him hanging the ball out like a loaf of bread. He's been pretty good this year with the defense, but then Tua comes back, and against the Cardinals, the defense gives up the late scores for a last-second field goal, 28-27, a little bit of a shootout going on there. So just finding new, different ways to lose, even as Tua comes back and backs against the walls against the team that has been their most dreaded foe in recent memory.
David, we'll get more on Tua in just a second. Listen, I mean, I follow a lot of Dolphins fans. I've got college roommates that are all Dolphins fans. So, listen, I hear a lot from fans all the time. And, you know, one of the things that it seems more and more is obviously McDaniel has taken a lot of the, strays and the shots and the firing squads from the fan base and for not being able to execute run the football or find any level of success without Tua in the lineup. But the other person that I've seen quite a bit of criticism of is Dolphins GM, Chris Greer. And going into the season, I think it's hard. In hindsight, it's always 20-20, David. But, you know, Tua finishes last year without having the injury issues. So I think, you know, the idea that this team was going to spend big money or resources on a backup, it's nice to think in hindsight, but you weren't expecting to start the season with Tua missing, five of the first or four of the first 6-7 weeks of the season. But it did feel like this team was not prepared for any level of life without Tua. And some of that falls in the GM. Some of that falls in the head coach. What maybe level of blame are you putting on the Chris Greer, the Dolphins GM, for this team not being able to be competitive year over year in a roster that last year, had a 3-game lead in the division and blew it, and this year starting the way that they started?
Correct, and it's just inexcusable for the Dolphins not to be prepared with the backup quarterback situation when you consider Tua's injury history. So, yes, they did get fortunate in 2023 that Tua made it through his first full season healthy, but you almost kind of feel like, boy, he's due at some point because he has that history. And the Dolphins try to get off maybe the cheap way and going with Mike White, and he was a more economical choice against the salary cap. And his first year with the Dolphins, sure, you didn't really need him. Tua made it through healthy, but then you always kind of felt it might pop up again. And then Mike White, he was back in a competition in the last preseason with Skylar Thompson, and all of a sudden White is not looking like the guy that we had seen with the Jets, come in and pull off a victory every now and then, very up and down, even when he got his chances. But every now and then he could just provide a stellar outing and lift the Jets to victory. We were not seeing that in training camp and the preseason. So Thompson almost, I don't even want to say he won the competition. It was more just Mike White lost it. And then Thompson ends up your backup, and it's really inexcusable for resources not to be spent at that position when you have such a talented roster that has a win-now window with Tyreek Hill 30, Jalen Ramsey 29,
yep.
Teron Armstead at left tackle. Maybe this might be his last season. And a season could just go awry so easily because of one injury to the starting quarterback.
David Fronis here on the Wester Hotline. He's the Dolphins beat reporter for the Sun Sentinel. I'm Nick Erie, live here from Batavia Downs. We are previewing tomorrow's 1 p.m. matchup, Bills-Dolphins, which, of course, you can hear right here on the flagship WGR Sports Radio 550. David, let's kick back to Tua in his first game back last week against a leaky Arizona Cardinals defense. One of the things I noticed, whether it was, from a play-calling perspective, maybe it was Tua wanting to make sure he gets the ball out quickly. Listen, this is an offense, and this is a quarterback who is known for getting the ball out quick and typically on his first or second read. But I noticed an additional concerted effort last week coming off of injury where it was maybe Mike McDaniel, calling plays that got the ball out even quicker. quicker, but Tua was really a concerted effort to get the ball out quick. Is that a sustainable model for this team moving forward where, you know, Tua's just going to try to get the ball out in under 2 seconds, knowing that what the Bills are going to do and what the Bills have been successful doing, maybe more than any other defense that the Dolphins have played over the last couple of seasons, is taking away that first read? Can they be sustainable? Can they win a game knowing that if the ball isn't out in under 2 seconds, that this offense might struggle?
Right, and here's another area where the Dolphins did not invest significant resources. It's upgrading the interior of the offensive line. So and when I asked Tua about his confidence in that group ahead of the season, he told me, well, brother, I get the ball out quickly, so it doesn't matter. Now, is it sustainable? Well, the Bills have had a lot of success with it. They run so many things off their two high safety looks, and they do it more against the Dolphins than other teams. So, yeah, that could explain a lot as to how you keep Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle underneath you, and then if you're taking away the first read, then Tua obviously has to go through his progression, and without a strong offensive line in front of him, then it makes it more difficult to go through a progression. So it's certainly a challenge, and it's something that Sean McDermott has been successful in defending. And now Tua, he got his feet wet a little bit last week. He had a fairly efficient game. He did have the big costly mistake of a mishandled snap that went for a safety. It kind of got the ball rolling for Arizona to make its comeback and take control in the second half. But now Tua gets his second game back against a familiar foe, and honestly, a stadium that has been a house of horrors for the Dolphins, not winning there since 2016. So it'll be a challenge.
Let's talk about this defense, David, and obviously the struggles over the last couple of weeks, more so than early in the season, but a lot of that really, I think you can look at directly the injuries this defense has sustained. Obviously, Jalen Phillips coming off of the Achilles injury really looked like he had that quickness, that bounce back, and then, you know, obviously has a season-ending knee injury, and now you've got Javon Holland, probably your defense's best player, listed as doubtful, didn't practice all week with a hand and knee injury. Kader Kohu is listed as out. He didn't practice all week, so he's not going to play. And obviously Zach Sealer, who I think is their best interior defensive lineman, out again this week with an eye injury and will not play. So just with these injuries mounting, David, how do you, if you're Anthony Weaver, approach a game against Josh Allen? It'll be his second game as a defensive coordinator here in Miami against Josh Allen. The first one obviously not going particularly well. What do you do if you're this defense to try to slow down this Bills offense, knowing Josh Allen's not turning the football over at the rate we're used to seeing Josh Allen turn the football over?
Absolutely, and yeah, as if it weren't tough enough, the Dolphins not only at 2-5 at this point in the year, trying to avoid 2-6 against a team that always routinely beats them. Now you have to defend Josh Allen in a situation where five of your starting defenders in your nickel package are out. You listed them. Javon Holland at safety, well, he's doubtful, but he's probably not going to play. Zach Sealer on the defensive line, who we've seen actually make big plays against Buffalo, that playoff game a couple years ago, scored a touchdown defensively. Your two outside edge rushers, so Bradley Chubb still recovering from last year's knee injury. Jalen Phillips, he suffers a season-ending knee injury this year after rehabbing his torn Achilles from the year before. So you don't have those guys. Kader Kohu, who's pretty impactful as a nickel in just allowing Jalen Ramsey to go move around as much as he does. So it's going to present quite the challenge against Allen, and you're right. He's not turning the ball over the way we're used to seeing. One interception this year. I did see the five fumbles number, so maybe that's where Anthony Weaver's coming from. And reaching back to that, his propensity, Josh Allen's propensity, to maybe hang the ball out a little bit when he does scramble. But I mean, when he does that, he's ready to fire somewhere, and he's ready to make plays. So you obviously take the very good with the few times bad in those cases. And I think for the Dolphins, that is what they're going to need to do. If they can get Josh Allen to revert back to turning the ball over, then that's how this game can be flipped in their favor. But the way Allen has been going this year, he seems very intent on not allowing opponents to do that.
So let me ask you this, David. Tuesday, November 5th, the NFL trade deadline. How much maybe hinges on this game and the result of this game tomorrow at 1 p.m. about what the Dolphins end up doing at the trade deadline? We're talking about a lot of these injuries, obviously losing Jalen Phillips for the year. Does a win maybe put them in buying mode where maybe they go out and try to get an edge rusher to replace Jalen Phillips? They should be getting Bradley Chubb back at some point this season too. So maybe they stay put because they know they're getting a little healthier down the line here as well. Or I guess really the question is, if they find themselves losing this game, David, it would be a really difficult hole to dig themselves out of. Would you maybe see them as sellers at the trade deadline, moving on from some players with an eye towards next year?
Yeah, I wouldn't see them selling and starting over per se, because they've built the core of this roster to win now, and they're kind of committed to a lot of salaries for the next few seasons. So you're kind of committed to this core, and you kind of have to see it out with them. You didn't really put yourself in a position to pivot. So Tua got an extension ahead of this season. Jalen Ramsey, he did too, making himself the richest cornerback. Tyreek Hill had a bunch of guarantees added. Jalen Waddle earned his extension. So Jalen Phillips, he had his fifth-year option. Bradley Chubb has a few more years left. So you've kind of committed to it. Mike McDaniel also got an extension as a coach. So it's a difficult situation to just start over in the event of the anticipated loss in this case. If the Dolphins were to pull off a win, then, yeah, you can see, all right, now you all of a sudden have this upswing of confidence. You were able to go into Buffalo and win it against the AFC East leading team and your hated rival. And now all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, yeah, if we can go in there and win, then we can beat all these other teams on our schedule. So it gives a whole different perspective to the rest of the season, where maybe, yeah, you do look for an edge rusher, let's say. The Dolphins do have Emmanuel Ogba going there. He came back after they released him for cap space, and he wasn't really signed anywhere else. And he's been okay there, but the Dolphins aren't really getting too many sacks. Rookie Chop Robinson, you haven't seen his development come through in the form of getting home to the quarterback yet, although he has had some pressures in certain situations. So maybe they get guys back. Maybe they add someone. So a win would really flip things around. Calais Campbell, a veteran defensive tackle, said it could be a catalyst to get the team going number one that they want to go on.
All right, David, appreciate you, buddy. Tell the folks where they can find your work for Bills fans looking to follow along with some Dolphins beat reporters.
Yeah, sunsentinel.com. All my articles are there, and also at David Furones, F-U-R-O-N-E-S _ on X or Twitter.
All right, my friend, I appreciate you. Pleasure chatting, and I'm sure I'll see you for a little quick lunch hello tomorrow up in the press box. It was good chatting with you, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Look forward to it.
All right, buddy. David Furones there, a Dolphins beat reporter for the Sun Sentinel. I'm Nick Erie. I'm here live at Batavia Downs for the Legends and Stars Memorabilia Show. Be going until 5 p.m. today. Reminder, all kids 12 and under, free of charge for entry into today's activities, and paid admission for $10 for everyone else. You'll get $10 back in free play on the gaming floor. And for full details on autograph prices and everyone that'll be here in attendance today signing autographs, just head to legends.com/andstars.net. Timeout on the other side. We'll get to two timeouts here coming up and getting into the 1 o'clock hour. We'll have some gents from Trainwreck Sports joining us here, talk about what they got going on this week and for tomorrow for the Bills game. We'll also have Ryan Hasenauer joining us again to update on everything going on here at Batavia Downs for the Legends and Stars Memorabilia Show. I'm Nick Erie. This is WGR. All right, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR. I'm Nick Erie, live from Batavia Downs at the Legends and Stars Memorabilia Show. We're chugging along here for hour three. We've got Slick coming from Trainwreck Sports going to join us in the next segment. Ryan Hasenauer will join as well, get us a final update here on everything going on here at the Legends and Stars Memorabilia Show right now. Up on stage, currently Scott Norwood just joined around 20 minutes ago. He'll be here till 1:15 on stage signing autographs. 1:15, Chris Chelios hops on stage. He'll be there till 2 o'clock. And then It's basically Bills Hour from 2 until 3:45. We've got Bruce Smith at 2, Eric Wood at 2:30, Cornelius Bennett at 3, and then Daryl Talley at 3 p.m. as well. And can't forget about Howard Ballard at 2:30 as well. I'm Nate Geary. We'll take a timeout. More on the other side live from Batavia Downs. This is WGR.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.